Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for our time together. We pray a blessing on these few moments we have, Lord. We pray that you open our hearts and our minds to your Spirit. And may your Spirit speak to us and transform us more into your image. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. The request is simple by Jesus in Mark 2:14. Follow me. The call to Levi from a preaching Jesus at the beginning of the Gospel of Mark. A simple phrase of just follow me. But let's address the elephant in the room with this passage. Levi is a tax collector. And no one likes tax collectors, even in our day and age, and especially now as tax season is coming, right? Is it too soon? We're going to be okay with this? We got 4 months. We can make it. But we think about it. That's what's going on here. Of all the people for Jesus to call to go out and for Jesus to say, follow me, it's a tax collector. And remember who Levi is in this society, not just ours, but Levi was sitting at his tax booth, and he was sitting at his tax booth taking collections, what he's supposed to do. And, you know, to know anything about a tax collector, and I've said this from here before, is to think not of some kind of like just, you know, guy, but he had some power. He had, no one liked him, but everyone feared him. Again, I think I've told y'all, but think Godfather kind of thing. Think an idea of like, you may have heard it in movies, but he's a made man kind of person, right? That's who a tax collector is. So no one likes that kind of guy. Everyone's afraid of that kind of guy. And yet Jesus walks by him and says, follow me. Now, the text here doesn't give us any hint that Levi ever knew who Jesus was. It doesn't give us that hint at all. The text doesn't tell us that Jesus, from the tax collector booth that Levi was in, that he heard Jesus' preaching in the initial parts of Mark. It doesn't tell us that Levi at some point was a part of the crowd who was following Jesus at his preaching. It doesn't say any of that. And for us to read that and to understand that can be hard because it doesn't make any sense to most of our rational modern minds. We want to make sense of it. Why would anyone just get up and follow? Right? Why would anyone just stand up and follow? I mean, I'm not sure I would have. Would you have? And before you tell me, yes, Russell, it's Jesus, are you sure about that? If you didn't know who he was, I mean, I know it sounds good to boast and say, well, I would do the same thing. As we're going to read what it means to follow Jesus, I don't know if we would have as we read. But this is what Levi does. And for whatever reason, the text is silent on any of our opinions or rationalizations. The text doesn't say, Levi got up because. It would have been nice. It would have been nice if we could have known just why Levi, what was it about Jesus that made Levi get up? But we don't have that. And so Levi got up from his booth, and the text tells us nothing else except that he got up from his booth, began to follow Jesus, and in typical Jesus form, he went and had a meal with him. That's what it tells us. Now, if someone were to come to you out of the blue and say, follow me, would you do it? If someone out of the blue, I don't know, you're sitting in your, you may or may have a cubicle, I don't know, but if you're sitting in your cubicle at work, or you're sitting at your home desk, which would be kind of awkward if someone came in there at your home desk, but, you know, play with the imagination a little bit. But you're in there working, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you, follow me. Are you getting up? Are you really going to get up? Like I said, the idyllic answer would be, yeah, if it's Jesus, of course. But the truthful and honest answer would be, I think most of us want to know what we're following. I think most of us would have all kinds of questions and say, well, wait a minute. What exactly do you want from me? What do I have to do? What are the hours here? Are you going to pay me if I follow you? What are you actually going to teach me? What am I going to... These are the questions that we would ask. I mean, we would want to know what's in it for us. What's in it for me? If I'm gonna change, what's in it for me? You know, if we change jobs, we're not really following somebody most of the time. What are we doing? We're following what's in it for me. What can I get out of it if I go from this job to this job? What is the benefit for me? But that's not what's going on here. And if we think about kind of everything that was going on in the story and what's happening, and if we do get up and follow, we begin to see some things. And the text tells us a few things later on, especially in Mark 9, kind of the disciples who did get up and follow, as we see, what are they arguing about? They're arguing on their way from Capernaum, and what are they arguing about? Who's going to be the greatest? So that's there, but that's not here. We don't know who we're following. We don't know why Levi got up. And this is hard for us because, if anything, Jesus should not be asking a tax collector to follow him. No. It's just, I say this a lot, but we look at the disciples and you're like, this is all you got, Jesus? Like, these 12 guys? This is it? I mean, and by the way, these 12 and one of them? You know, sent you to the cross? Sort of. Like, you could do better than this. And yet these are the people who you said follow me. And these are the guys who got up and said okay without ever asking any questions. Earlier in Mark, you have Peter's call, right? Peter gets up, you'll follow me, which is a great story. Just to the simple fact that they're in a boat, they jump out of the boat, and the dad is left in the boat. So they're working. Jesus says follow me. In this passage, and they jump out of the boat and begin to follow him, and the dad is left there with the nets. You know, that's a thing. But here in this text, he calls a tax collector. It wouldn't be the person you or I would probably go to and say, follow me. But what does Levi do? He gets up. Levi, for no reason, gets up. He gets up and he leaves everything. He leaves everything. And he leaves everything for a person. We got to get this straight. He leaves everything for a person. He leaves everything for Jesus. Jesus has the authority and the power, as we read in Mark, for this call to follow me. It is the very words of the calling of Jesus saying, follow me, that can pull Levi out of his old world, right? Out of what he knows and into some kind of new world full of possibilities that Levi has no idea where he's going. Now, we'll get there a few months from now. We're going to go through the Sermon on the Mount and really see what it looks like to follow Jesus. But for right now, he gets up and leaves everything for just a possibility of something. And by the way, this new future hasn't been set up yet. Think about this. No future. Jesus hasn't said any of this yet. It's only like we read in Mark 9 here where the disciples start seeing stuff and going, hey, we kind of like this kingdom idea. I mean, we got some power in this thing. But in this moment, that's not what's going on here. Levi gets up to a future that he has no idea about. All Levi can do in this moment is cling to the person he just got up for, who is Jesus Christ. That's it. He's got to cling to Jesus. He's got to hold on to Jesus. And we are seeing in this moment, in this very short first verse, as we begin this new year, that this is going to be our emphasis toward is on discipleship. It is going to be, what does it look like for us to cling to the person of Jesus? And that Jesus wasn't just an idea, right? Jesus wasn't just a philosophy. Jesus was a real person who people had to follow, and before anything else, before they knew anything else, they had to hold on to Jesus. That's a big deal. That discipleship begins not with a list of beliefs or a list of reasons why, but discipleship begins with our willingness to follow Jesus before anything else. Jesus didn't go to Levi and say, follow me because. Follow me because I'll give you all the right beliefs and all the right reasons. In Mark 2, Jesus just says, follow me. And the text tells us that he got up. Discipleship begins with Jesus. It's about getting up and following him. And that, my friends, is easier said than done. Because if we're going to get up and follow, then we will be leaving everything else behind. And so there is a risk in this. There is a risk in what Levi does when he hears the call of Jesus. When Jesus walks by and calls for him to follow, Levi makes the risky choice because he has no idea what he's following. The safety and security of what he knows is in front of him. It's the tax booth. That's what he knows. And for many of us, as we start the new year, we want to know we try to create our own future if we can. We try to know what's going to happen. But none of us know what's going to happen and what this year is going to look like. It's only when we get to December 31st and we're like, well, that was something, wasn't it? Right? Well, that's what's going on here. I mean, there's no future in front of him. Taxes, he knows. He can get taxes from others. He knows how to do that. The calling of a tax collector has been defined by him. He knows everything about that until Jesus comes and gives him a new calling. And this is a reminder that following Jesus is giving up. And now that phrase is uncomfortable. When I wrote it, I was really uncomfortable. Following Jesus is giving up. And nobody in here likes to think of giving up. You know, we think of giving up. It's like we've gave up, right? No. But that's what it is. Following Jesus is giving up. It's giving yourself up for the person who you're following. It's clinging to Jesus and Jesus alone and saying, in this, I will follow you in everything and every way. In anything that I have, that's just, well, I'm going to leave it behind. We don't like to give up, but that's what it is. We have to give up on our life. We have to give up on the identity that we once knew, the identity that the world defines us by. When we get up to follow Jesus, we're walking into an unknown place, but following the one who can lead us into that unknown place. You're not going by yourself. When you follow Jesus, you're following the person who's walking very much right next to you. It's not an idea that you can't grasp. It is Jesus who you do grasp. It's the hand you hold as he pulls you along. That's what's going on here. We're clinging to Jesus as Jesus begins to show us what this whole new kingdom looks like. We cling to Jesus as Jesus begins to show us a new imagination about the world and people. Levi is not clinging to some idea or new content, using the words of Bonhoeffer. And I know some of you went and saw the movie, but you're going to know a lot of the next 4 months will be bathed with his words and his. And if you want to get ahead of the curve, read Cost of Discipleship. That's what a lot of this is coming from. But this is, Levi's not getting any kind of new ideas or new content using his words. And that's the thing about this short text is, all we can see is Levi's getting up and following. Levi does not obediently get up because someone gave him a new way of thinking. He just gets up. And that's our reminder today as we begin the new year and we move into the new theme of 2025, that discipleship, becoming a disciple, does not begin by an idea. I'm going to keep saying it over and over. Jesus is not an idea. Because following an idea, well, that is easy and that can be manipulated in however way we want it to, in whatever way we like it to. With an idea, we can fit it into our own box and make it what we want. Jesus, well, Jesus is another story. You can't fit Jesus into a box. Yeah, we try, but you can't fit Jesus into a box. The call of Jesus is to follow him. So if discipleship begins with Jesus, then following everything we do begins with Jesus. You and I follow a person before an idea. You and I follow the way of what? The way of Jesus Christ. The way of the person who led us to show us what it looks like. It was the person that Levi got up to follow and learn what he was actually going to follow. And as we will see through this first series of the year, it will not be an easy task. Jesus was not for everyone. If Jesus was for everyone, the Bible would be a lot, you know, there wouldn't be death in it, right? Jesus, he wasn't for everyone. We have moments, and we're going to read next week about the three guys who came up to Jesus. And, you know, the first guy, I want to follow you. And Jesus was like, guess what? You're going to be using rocks for pillows. And what we can kind of understand from the text is he's like, no, thank you. It's not for everyone, you know. And the other two guys, follow me. Okay, but I got to go bury my dad. Yeah, well, let the dead bury the dead. Who says that? But this is the difficult. Following Jesus is not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. Following a person causes us to have to listen. It causes us to have to watch. It causes us to have to learn. Jesus is a person who lived, and as we read in verse 15, who ate, who touched, who spoke about what this following meant. When others wanted to follow, Jesus embodied what it meant. And in The Cost of Discipleship, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this. He says, an idea about Christ, a doctrinal system, a general religious recognition of grace or forgiveness of sins, does not require discipleship. He goes on and says, one enters into a relationship with an idea by way of knowledge, enthusiasm, perhaps even by carrying it out, but never by personal obedient discipleship. Christianity without the living Jesus Christ remains necessarily a Christianity without discipleship. And a Christianity without discipleship is always a Christianity without Jesus Christ. It is an idea, a myth, a Christianity in which there is only God the Father, but not Christ as a living Son, actually cancels discipleship. When we follow a person. When we're a disciple of a person. We even use it in today's day, you know? I use it from people I've learned under, and when we talk like how I preach, well, I'm a disciple of. This is my mentor of. It was a person who showed me what it looked like to do this and put it on paper and put it together. And here, Bonhoeffer saying this says, we're not following an idea. Levi's not following an idea. There's a story once told to me about a missionary and his family who was coming home. The missionary's name was Glenn Adsit. He was a minister mostly in China. And during that time, him and his family were placed under house arrest in China. So when the soldiers came one day and said, you can return to America, you can imagine everyone got excited. The family celebrated, and the soldier said to them, you can take 200 pounds with you. Well, they've lived in China for a while, so you can imagine the stuff that they had, 200 pounds. They got the scales and started the family arrangements, two children, wife, and a husband. They had all this. So they said, we have to have the vase. We have to have the typewriter, if that tells you how old this is. We have to have a book. We have to have all this stuff. And they begin to weigh it out, and they got to 200 pounds. Soldier looked at him and says, you ready to go? They were like, we absolutely are. Let's go. Did you weigh everything? Yes. Have you weighed the kids? No, we didn't. Soldier looks at him and says, weighed the kids. And in that moment, a typewriter, a vase, and books all became trash. Discipleship can be something that we want to define. It can be something that we want it to be. We try to mold it to make it sometimes easier. We may take the words of Jesus and the life of Jesus and, well, you know, did he really? Come on. We'll do that in the Sermon on the Mount. Did he really? When we get caught up in that, we get caught up in all the minutiae, we don't hear Jesus' call. Jesus' call is simple. It really is simple. It is simple as getting up and following, but it's a hard task. I think the Gospel of John will portray it best toward the end of Jesus' discourse in John 17. Jesus prays for his disciples, and he says this, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me, have loved them, even as you have loved me. And get this, Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. It's that verse right there. I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me. There's an idea that we will be physically with Jesus. And Jesus looks forward to that. There's the idea in the first part of this passage that others who will come well after me will know me because of the people who embodied me to them, that I was a real person and I lived in a real way. We are in Christ and Christ is in us so that one day we can be with Christ. Christ. And that is our goal, I believe, to be with Christ. Well, then, we want others to know Christ and understand who Christ was. So, today, a tax collector witnessed to the response, and we witness in the tax collector a response of just a willingness to get up. And when we do get up, everything else is left behind. When we follow Jesus, we can't carry anything else with us. The disciple follows and binds himself with the person, binds herself with the person of Jesus. We bind ourselves to Jesus. We learn from Jesus by how? Following Jesus. Our discipleship comes from our willingness to get up and follow. Just start there. Get up and follow. And then begin to see the life of Jesus. No one else but Jesus. There is no discipleship without Jesus. It is Jesus' way, and everything else is trash. And that's what we have to realize. When Jesus says, follow me, we're following Jesus, and everything else is just trash. And so when Levi, a tax collector, who, by the way, he had money, he had power. Sure, no one liked him. He didn't care. He had money, he had power, he had everything else. And for no simple reason that we can understand, the text says he saw everything else, all of his identity before him, and he got up. And he walked into the new future that Jesus, as we know, that Jesus is preparing. We do the same thing. We get up and we follow Jesus. We don't follow an idea. We can talk about him. We can try. But we follow the way of Jesus. And what we're going to see this year, hopefully, is that Jesus lived, he touched, he loved, and he showed us how to live. And that's the person's hand that we're holding through this. Jesus and Jesus alone. We can get caught up in the details and we can get caught up in the minutiae, but what we learn is all of it's just trash. Jesus has called us to continue to walk forward with him, to make us into disciples, and to also make others disciples as well. If you have any needs this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.